then president of the seminary, happened to be this class in which I was lecturing on the sacrament of confession. He told the students, when Dr. Hart is telling the people, Catholics really, they really believe, once the priest pronounces the words, you know the Latin, ego te absolvo, peccatus tuus, I absolve you from your sins. Catholics really believe those sins they absolve. They really believe it. And so this Baptist minister, how I wish I could say that. That's our faith. And you want to grow in your faith. I can't think of a better way than by exercising your faith, by receiving absolution as often as you can. And I'm using, my gosh, that's the superlative, as often as you can. And I repeat, it'll do you good and do the priest good. Now regarding the priest, this is crucial, especially nowadays. Sanctity for the priest is not necessary. If anyone says that priests in mortal sins have not the power of binding or loosing, that is, of absolving or not absolving, let him be anathema. And over the centuries, and going on right now, there are two main reasons for the massive departure from the Catholic Church. Ignorance of the faith by the people and immorality of the clergy. And the more educated the people are, there's no guarantee of their understanding of their faith. It may be just the opposite. They may know everything else but. They can know calculus inside out, but not understand even the basics of their Catholic faith. That is why I must say I was thrilled when I read that the federal government is seriously considering withdrawing as a start $20 billion from federal aid to higher education. I breathed easier. So, immorality among the clergy has been from the very beginning and is surely now. It's no excuse, but it surely is an explanation of why so many will say, either the priests or the bishops are telling us it's true, why has it been lost on them? And then Christ himself had to tell his followers what they are, even the Pharisees, what they tell you to do, you do it. Don't follow their example. And it is not that simple. And then, part of the same context, only priests can observe. If anyone says that not only priests, but that to each and all of the faithful of Christ. As it said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. By which you are rich, whereas anyone can absolve from sins, for public sins. Reproof only, and from secret sins by voluntary confession. Now there's no doubt there is value in admitting to someone, not indiscriminately, but to someone, that I've done something wrong. There's a relief of conscience in sharing with someone else. They have been mistaken, of course, and especially the one, say, against whom I've done something wrong. But our faith tells us Christ ordained priests and gave them the power from the first century on to absolve. Suppose we turn to the other page, that is the one page outline. We covered some of this already, but just to make sure that you have an overview, especially in the light of modern developments. What's the foundation in divine revelation? As we've been saying, its institution in Scripture is found in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. And it has been so understood in tradition. The church possessing with water and tears, the water of baptism and the tears of penance. People went to confession from the very beginning. But since the early church, as we've been saying, was exceptionally holy, the number that went to confession was not large. However, those who went to confession, they had big sins, and especially public sins, where they sinned, for example, adultery. Then, not all, but at least in some countries, they would have to do public penance. I repeat, not all. One of the problems here, and what I know is, that scholars, as we may call them, have got into the picture, and because they have a thesis to defend, in other words, in greater or less measure, so many, and they have degrees behind their names, maybe teachers in schools of theology or of canon law, but they may have lost their faith in the sacrament of confession. We can name names, and I can name them, some well-known figures, just no longer believe. They just don't believe in the sacrament of confession. What they do then is write either learned articles and journals, even whole books, undermining, undercutting our faith in sacramental absolution by, for example, appealing to the infrequency of confession in the early church. Or, say, claiming that everyone had to perform public penance, which is not true. And this is one of the most important things in the church, however I know, is not only having strong believers, even strong, educated, intelligent believers, but those who are strong believers and do research to back up the church's teaching by showing that so far from there having been any drastic change in the church's teaching here on the sacrament, it is consistent and has been for 2,000 years. And the difficulty, how painfully well I know, the difficulty is that sometimes some very learned scholars, whether biblical or theological, they have thick books analyzing some position which they are out to prove, and with the mercy of their scholarship, when someone else has done corresponding scholarship, you're caught. You follow me? In any case, it is well to know that the church from the first century believed that Christ instituted the sacrament and that oracular confession to a priest was considered from the very beginning as of divine origin. F10 after. Please.
About 8 minutes after.
Yeah. Just a word about the history of confession. Private, bishop or priest, of apostolic origin. In other words, private confession of one person to one priest or one bishop goes back to apostolic times. In that private C-A-N-S, private confession, absolution, and satisfaction. Now, there could be, especially if the sin was public, private absolution, or private confession, private absolution, and public satisfaction. We are saying the adulterer might have to, for 1 year, on a Sunday morning, stand in the vestibule of the church and ask each person coming to church on Sunday to pray for me. Or, again, if it was very public and very notorious, even public confession, public absolution, public satisfaction, but, and this is crucial, the Pope never approved it. The Pope never approved bishops who required public confession. Never approved it. It was done. but without the Pope's approval. Suppose somebody in the year 2495, 400 years from now, write a history of the Catholic Church in the 20th century about the practice, say, of the bishops in the late 20th century. All kinds of wild things. In other words, just because bishops are doing something is no guarantee that that is good or approved by the Bishop of Rome. Then the so-called development of doctrine, this is most important. In other words, there was such a thing as the church's growing and your understanding of this sacrament, and she is growing even now, but the doctrine objectively remains the same. I mean, something about the development since the Second Vatican Council. You notice certain rites, practices, thus the individual penitent as always, then several penitents, each with individual confession and absolution. And I thought we should say something about general confession and general absolution, like in danger of death. Oh, a grave need, and that'll be a grave need. There'll be no absolution for a long time. And, say, several thousand people, the bishop would have to determine. But, and here's the reason, there is no excusing. No authority on earth can excuse a person from confessing their mortal sins because they have received general absolution. Hear it and don't forget it. And the bishop who teaches the contrary is wrong. In other words, the intention to confess these sins in a private confession, a mortal sins, is necessary for receiving absolution, even when there can be extreme necessity for what we call general absolution, as say in time of plague. Then the declaration of the popes, especially Paul VI and the present Holy Father, frequent confession. If I have done nothing else as a result of today's classes than brought to your attention, if one person even once receives sacramental absolution, because what we say would have been worth my while spelling this out. If, as we know, the frequency of receiving Holy Communion is necessary in our day, always has been, but especially in our day, even to remain in a state of grace. I never tire repeating, in the first 3 centuries of the age of martyrs, daily Mass and daily communion were the rule. And nobody can beat this, no one. All the speechifying by sinners like myself to the contrary means nothing. It is Jesus Christ who says the norms. In his world, breathing the atmosphere of sin in everything we read or hear or see, frequent Mass and communion necessary to stay in a state of grace, and frequent confession to obtain the grace to resist temptations. And I can prove that from experience. It's real, very real. Now, you people may have a problem, but you might say, I don't have. I've got priests surrounding me. Well, I must say, I just don't go to any priest. Just casually, I pick my penitence. My penitence? No, I never pick my penitence. I do pick my confessors. But find a confessor. In fact, in 1 or 2, we could even maybe agree and happy to canvass and get confessors, say in Greater Detroit. How's that sound? I'd be happy to do it. And priests that are guaranteed to be zealous and willing, and I give you a hard time because, well, you were disturbing, well, the television program that he's watching. Okay. And I think we should take a break. So, we take a 15-minute break for the next session, which will be on the Acts of the Apostles, and we're concentrating on Judaism in order to bring out what St. Paul faced when, as we know, he insisted even on persecuting the Christians because, as he thought, Jesus was a pseudo-Messiah in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of Mercy,
pray for
us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, pass the box you have for questions which we need. Okay? 15-minute break.
Do you want me to pass?